Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it's good to be back with you. I hope you had a great weekend. We have another Monday in store for all of us, whether you like it or not, right? I mean, it's Monday. Get over it. So it's just the way it works. And usually, now for the last couple of weeks, because our schedules didn't jive and vacations and stuff, usually our good friend David Fisher is on, who's one of our great program sponsors and partners. And we do Money Mondays. We've got a lot of new listeners out there. So whether you're in San Francisco listening to KDIA, or perhaps you're out in Hawaii, Honolulu, aloha to you guys on K-Lite or KXPR, which is up there in the frozen tundra of northern Minnesota, International Falls. I don't think you guys have heard David and I on the show before. You've certainly heard me now, but David Fisher is just an expert in the world of finances and especially precious metals, international banking, what's going on with Congress, and not only just domestically but internationally. And so we do Money Mondays together, the first Monday of the month when the schedule works out. We do a full show. And then every Monday after that, in between those, we do just a little Money Monday update at the end of the show. But our march has been going in different directions. So for David and I, so we're going to do a full Money Monday today. We've got a lot to talk about, and of course, trade wars and tariffs and all that kind of stuff going on, and what's going on with the market, which has been on kind of a wild ride since the beginning of February. Obviously, just crazy. And oftentimes, people will say, "Hey, Steve, why do you do the subject of money and finances and this Money Monday thing on a regular basis?" Well, if it's good enough for Jesus and it's good enough for the Word of God, it's certainly good enough for me, and it should be good enough for you. 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus talked about were concerned with how to handle money and possessions. In the Gospels alone, an amazing 1 out of 10 verses deal directly with the subject of money. The Bible, for example, offers 500 direct verses on prayer, less than 500 direct verses specifically about faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. It is obviously an important topic. God knows our hearts, and we need to be educated and informed, and that's why our good friend David Fisher is with us today from Landmark Capital. David, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I guess I need to say aloha to the people in Hawaii and burr to the people in Minnesota a little bit.
Talk about opposite extremes.
Yeah, opposite extremes. I love San Francisco, great city to visit. So, and actually, I'm going to be in Honolulu in July, so maybe I can if it works out, to either do a live radio broadcast from their studio there.
That'd be cool.
We'll talk about that later. But
yeah.
Welcome the three new places that you're at, Steve.
Yeah, we're excited. God is moving, continues to grow the show, so we're excited about that. And you guys just, you had a vacation recently, is that right?
We went to San Antonio, did the river walk, and, I learned a lot about the Alamo that I just never quite, you go there and you see it, and it's actually a really emotional experience, at least as that was for my wife and I, just the spirit of America, fighting for what they believed in, and it was pretty incredible thing, how 200 people gave their lives to fight a battle of one of the largest armies in the world at the time, 3,000 soldiers from Mexico, and 2,000 soldiers were killed by only 200 people. Wow. So that's it's a kind of a downer, but the spirit of America is really the key is in how we, fought for what we believed in.
Yeah, that's an awesome story, that's for sure. So I know we're talking a lot about, Donald Trump continues to provide plenty of information for us to talk about, and now we're dealing with tariffs and a trade war. So it kind of bring us up to date on that. What are tariffs? What's with the trade war? They're being imposed, and what's going on with the trade deficit? It's a pretty complex situation.
Well, obviously, it's important, Steve, because the Dow dropped 420 points when Gary Cohen, who is the previous chief economic advisor at the time, talking about tariffs, when he talked about resigning, the Dow plummeted that day. But a trade deficit in goods widened by 10.8% year over year. So in other words, it's getting larger. Now it's $76.5 billion. It's the largest in January. This is the largest it's ever been since we had the 2008, the Great Recession. To put into perspective, For the year 2017, the U.S. trade deficit for non-petroleum, in other words, taking out oil out of it, products hit an all-time record of $734 billion in 2017. So we're buying more products than what we send abroad is what a trade deficit is. So to counterbalance that, they put on a tariff here recently. And initially, I'll give President Trump a lot of credit for his matching of his rhetoric with reality. You know, he and his advisors claim that tariffs and tough talk will close the United States' long-running trade deficit. History has proven otherwise, but the U.S. trade deficit really is a mirror of an image of really what's happening in the United States, the domestic economy. Our expenditures in the U.S. exceed our income. How much we produce in the United States, which is what's currently happening right now.
Right.
And these excess expenditures will be met by excess imports over exports, in other words, a trade deficit. So simply put, we're taking in a lot more than what we're sending out. And so to counterbalance that, they thought, let's put on a trade or a tariff, which is a tax. And some people, you know, there's a whole lot of opinions on this. Initially, it was really fought by Wall Street. Wall Street hates this. That's why one reason of a couple why you've seen these big market gyrations, there's a lot of volatility. Then President Trump scaled this back because it was going to be across the board. But then Canada, Mexico, and Australia, they struck a side deal where they're exempt from this. So tariffs is just on a side note, it's really a small portion of U.S. trade. It's only constitute 1.8% of the total U.S. goods imported and would raise the average U.S. import tariff by only 0.3%. So they're talking about putting it on steel and talking about putting it on aluminum, 10% on aluminum and 25% on steel imports, only from specific countries. And really, in consideration, the average tariff, Steve, rate has declined. It was in the 1930s, most tariffs were around 20%. Now, on an average, we're only at 1.5% in recent times. So considering, you know, how much upheaval it brought to the market, in retrospect, looking at it, it's not a big thing. And this is supposed to spur, you know, job growth, but it will affect our trade with our second trading partner in the world, the European Monetary Union, and it's going to affect also the UK, which is one of our biggest allies.
Yeah, a lot of ripple. Hold it right there. We're coming up on a break. A lot of ripple effects we're going to talk about today with the tariffs and the trade deficit and what's going on with the chief economic advisor. Some big changes there. A lot to talk about on Money Monday. We'll be right back.
Let's try it all.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Jesus talked a lot about money. The Bible talks a lot about money and finances and possessions. So that's why we make it a regular part of the show here on Call to Action Radio with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is their website. Great information, great education. He really helps us understand these complex issues. And we know we're not getting fake news. We're getting news from a brother in Christ who's been in the business for what? Like over 20 years now. Is that right, David?
25 years, it'll be in August.
The silver anniversary coming up. Wow, that's amazing, 25 years. And so David and I met several years ago, and I was pretty skeptical about precious metals and all that stuff just because of the way I'd heard it advertised. So we spent hours talking on the phone and getting educated, then started doing a little radio together and became friends. He used to be a youth pastor, a man of God, a great godly leader and a great family, and I've actually met his staff and been out there in Phoenix and had a chance to get to know them. So nobody gets on this show unless I trust them and that I thoroughly believe that they're going to bless the audience and help all of us in our own personal walks with the Lord, and our finance is a big deal. So it took a while before David was on the air, but since he's been on, it's been a great partnership. He's been a great supporter of the show, and one of the reasons that we're able to be on the air and expand is our relationship with David, and it's just been a huge blessing. I just wanted to acknowledge that publicly once again, David, and say thank you and God bless you.
Thank you. You know, it's a two-way street. I had to make sure that we're going to be equally yoked, and I can tell your listeners that Steve Noble's the real deal. He's a man of God and totally reflects the integrity and the character of the Lord. I know that's your motivation and your heart, and we're both desiring the same thing in that, and that's great to find. And I think that's the main reason why we partner well together.
Amen. Exactly right. That unity of the Spirit. Thank God for that. So we were talking about tariffs. So everybody kind of went ballistic on the left and the right, and people in the markets and financial experts all over the map, really, David, when Donald Trump started talking about these tariffs. Why did everybody react so negatively?
Well, on a historical basis, there's never been any precedent where tariffs have shown that they actually have worked. I mean, the closest thing comes to out of President Reagan's playbook when he imposed tariffs in the 1980s. And, you know, what actually happened is the tariffs that he imposed put a pause, and American companies got their financial house in order, so to speak. So it wasn't about just imposing a tax on these products coming in the United States, because that's just a short-term fix. That doesn't really fix the situation. But, you know, speaking of like Harley-Davidson, they put on tariffs on motorcycles coming in from China, is what President Reagan did. And as a result of that, it gave a breather of a window opportunity where Harley-Davidson retooled their company. And now look how prosperous Harley-Davidson is. I mean, so it really did that. So I hope that the purpose of the tariffs helps America's companies get their financial house and get their production in order, because this is really all about wages, because that's what causes a trade deficit. We pay so much more higher wages here in our country to compare to other countries. And the number, besides the actual product that's being developed, the second cost in a company is wages. So the wages are killing us, even though we haven't kept up with wages in the last 9 years. Yeah. It's been the slowest recovery. But that's just the problem in our trade deficit. So I don't know if we're going to see this actual trade deficit work. But I will say this, that what happened is Canada, President Trump threw out the olive branch, and he offered any country that wants to renegotiate a trade with the United States, he says, I'm open. Come to me, let's renegotiate a trade. And only three responded, Canada, Mexico, and Australia. So the rest have not responded. So we'll see what happens with that. They're only talking about, you know, putting on tariffs. Like Europe, the European Monetary Commission wants to retaliate and put imports on U.S. steel into their country, apparel, textile, footwear, booze even, bourbon, jeans, and corn, T-shirts. So we'll see how that happens. But historically, tariffs really don't work in the long term of getting your trade deficit in order.
So what's going to happen to us kind of regular folks down here on the street as a result of what the president's doing here?
Well, what history has shown, this causes inflation. This puts the cost actually goes off onto the consumer. And that's been what Larry Kudlow and others who have said, and Larry Kudlow served with President Reagan on his economic, advisor team. The history has proven us the actual cost of the tariff causes those products that were being shipped into our country to actually cost higher, and the consumer is the one that gets hurt. So that's why there's been so much pushback on this.
And do you think this will be a short-term thing, and Trump will turn around and change his mind in the near future, or do you think this will go on for a while?
Well, I think he's going to continue with it until he gets everybody agreed to sign a new treaty with him. Otherwise, you're going to see hopefully we don't see this, but a tariff war happening. You know, if European Commission puts into effect what they're talking about, and China's just looking at how it might impact them, if China joins in on this, then we could put other tariffs besides just steel and aluminum against these two entities. So those are our largest trading partners, and that's what brings revenue to our country. So this could be detrimental to the money actually coming into our country.
Because didn't Donald Trump in the past, I mean, I think he flat out said that he would welcome a trade war. I mean, and maybe not specifically, but it sure seemed like he didn't care about that.
No, he specifically did say that. And so this is, you have to understand his style and is different from any other president. He is a very, throws as a businessman of over 40 years in New York, he throws it out there and he kind of rattles everybody's cages.
Right.
And then he sees how people respond, and then he takes a step backwards and then he negotiates a deal. So this is still in the early makings, but this is throwing it out there, rallying everybody's cage, and that's what we're in right now. And now we're going to see what settles.
Yeah, so so he's always in a negotiation. It just takes a while for the rest of us to figure that out, it would seem.
Yes.
Well, you mentioned a minute ago Larry Kudlow. Now, I didn't know this was going on, but now there's talk actually about Larry Kudlow replacing Gary Cohen as the new chief economic advisor. Do you think that could actually happen, and why should it?
Well, the news is talking about it. Wall Street would love it. And Larry Kudlow's, you know, served with President Reagan, like I said. And, you know, my dad served with President Reagan. I love President Reagan. I love Larry Kudlow. And, you know, so I think, you know, historically, Larry Kudlow has been able to whisper into the president's ear, you know, before a couple of speeches and said, make sure you say this. And it's brought a lot of advice, good advice to our president. So, and he does it, Larry does it in such a way, you know, whether he's being interviewed on CNBC or he's on his own talk show or a radio show, he does it in such a way where he doesn't make you feel belittled, but he encourages you to see, hey, there's another side of the story, and here's what it might do if you look at it this way and implement it this way. And he uses history as a great teacher, which, you know, that tells a lot. So Larry has a lot of integrity, has a lot of respect from Wall Street, from the news media. He's been interviewed on the news. He has the experience serving under President Reagan, which, you know, President Trump is taking a lot of the playbooks from President Reagan's time in presidency. Yeah. So it sounds like a shoe-in, but unfortunately, President Trump has not actually said, let's do this. So it's still awaiting, but I think it would be very welcomed by the markets.
Yeah, and when do you think we would hear about that?
I think we could probably, I would say later on this week or early next week, we might see something happening. Gary Cohen is still there. He hasn't officially resigned. He's just saying he's going to.
Yeah, we know it's coming. This is Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. We're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, talking about a bunch of complex issues that affect our dollars, affect our pocketbooks and our savings. That's why we're talking about it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. By the way, did you catch the show within a show? Are you grabbing the conversation that occurs within the conversation? So there's the regular show, Call to Action Radio. So we're on the air, you know, then you hear commercial breaks in between. But while the commercial breaks are going on, there's another conversation going on that takes place only on our Facebook live feed. So if you want to join us there, we kind of have a sidebar conversation. And we don't rob Peter to pay Paul. So I literally hit the pause button on the on-air conversation. That stays where it's at. We're going to pick up right there now that we come back from the commercial break. But during the commercial breaks, we have kind of a sidebar conversation. Sometimes we take questions from our friends on Facebook Live, and sometimes we just talk about a totally different subject with our guest on that day. Or if it's just me, then we'll interact on Facebook Live. So it's really been a neat opportunity inside the regular show to build our relationships there. And by the way, at the end of the show, and we'll do this with David at the end of the show today on Facebook Live, when we go off the air on the live program, which is from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday daily, we go off the air on the radio, but then we pray together every day on Facebook Live. And I'm on the air. I'm on Facebook Live just about every day that I'm on the radio. So we pray together, and sometimes it's about the topics of the day. Sometimes it's about something else going on. I think we'll probably pray today about the bombings of what's going on in Austin over the last couple of weeks with people literally getting a package at home. They bring it in. They open it. The young man just died as a result of that, and it blew up. So now you're looking at a kind of a Unabomber situation, and something like that, we're going to take advantage of technology, and we're going to pray together when the show is over. So if you want to join us there, again, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time is when we're absolutely live every day. On Facebook, it's just facebook.com/C2A radio, facebook.com/C2A radio. That's the letter C, the number 2, the letter A, radio. And you can join us there. Talking to our good friend, as I said, David Fisher today from Landmark Capital. Their website, same as always, landmarkgold.com, landmarkgold.com. Or if you want to get some education information, you can give them a call at 844-879-8882. And David, we were talking about tariffs and what's going on with trade and our trade imbalance, but also our debt, which is a huge problem. And we were talking about, we've been talking about this for a while, the Fed unwinding its balance sheet and trying to sell off treasuries. So is this a trend that's going to stay for a while? And are we going to have to continue to pay attention to this?
Well, they said about 6 years ago, they're going to have to unwind the balance sheet. And they tried to create a model to do so on a computer system. And every time they did this, and they called upon the two guys that actually created quantitative easing, Brian Sachs and Joseph Gagnon. And those are the guys who created it, couldn't figure out how to unwind it. In other words, sell it without causing any market turmoil. So once you start connecting the dots, you can actually see market turmoil didn't really happen until the beginning of this year. Last year, we had a pretty much straight up market with not a whole lot of volatility. Now we've had a market that has had literally hundreds of points, 400 and 500 point swing. At one point, there was a 1400 point swing in the Dow on one day. So this is all because the Fed is unwinding or selling their balance sheet, which is two things, two assets, treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. The predominant one is U.S. treasuries. They became the largest buyer. And we go back to 2008, they held $880 billion in their balance sheet. Now they hold $4.5 trillion. So the plan is, let's unwind this. Let's do this every month. And they really started this really in September, but it was just a little bit. It didn't do hardly anything. It was only $10 billion. Now they're doing $30 billion a month every month. The second quarter, it's going to be $40 billion. By the fourth quarter, it's going to be $50 billion every month. And if we look at when they first sold, which was the first time this year, it was February 28th, because they actually January 28th is when they first sold. Yeah. On the early of February, we saw a 400-point swing downward. We saw the same thing happen at the end of February, on February 28th, almost a 400-point swing downward. March 1st continued to fall. So what they're doing is they're trying to get down their balance sheet to what is normal, considering not just their balance sheet being at $4.5 trillion, but total central bank balance sheets have ballooned to $16.4 trillion. They're selling this, called the U.S. Treasuries, and that creates another problem for our country. But this is, they want to get that back to normal. They're going to do this for a couple of years. While they're doing this, they're raising rates. So we're in uncharted territories. Who knows how this might unravel the dollar? Who knows, it might cause inflation? But it's not been good for the market. It's caused a whole lot of volatility.
Oh, man. So I guess the word is that last year was just an absolute party on Wall Street. And our personal, our investments did incredible. We had a great year in both the things that we hold personally in terms of stocks and investments, but as well as the gold holdings that we have personally. But that, it seems like that party's over, and we cannot, based on these conditions, expect the same thing to happen this year. Or am I being too much of a bad attitude type person?
No, I think you're right on. I said in January of last year on your program, we're going to have a bull market in gold, bull market in stocks. Gold went up almost 15%. Stocks went up about twice as much. And I said at the beginning of your program this year in January, this year is not going to be the same as last year. We're going to have a lot of volatility. Bull markets in both, but nothing close to what we saw last year. Don't expect double-digit increase in the markets this year. And certainly that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. And does the Fed even have a choice in this, David? Is their hand forced and they have to do this? I think they have to raise rates because of the debt situation. But in terms of unwinding the balance sheet, is this just they've painted themselves into a corner?
Well, I think, you know, why they created a balance sheet is because they had to create all this money to bail out the environment injected in the system in 2008. So this tells us, by the fact that they are unwinding it, that tells us that they're preparing for another downturn in the economic environment, maybe something severe.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about precious metals in terms of factoring that into your investments here in a little bit. But the Treasury released their annual report as well as the government, which is a scary thought. So what do we learn from that? What does that look like?
Well, the Treasury just released their annual report saying that last year they have a $1 trillion shortage in treasuries. They got to increase the creation of treasuries up 84% from 2017 to compared to the previous year. So there was a huge shortage of $955 billion. Then they released a report saying next year they're going to have to actually create $1.1 trillion of treasuries just to suffice the spending. Man. And what came out with that is this: the government released a report saying that they lost $1.6 trillion of money in last year. Now, this is not a conspiracy. This is not, you know, something that's far-fetched. This is a economic report that the government releases every year, and it's you can you look online and read it for yourself. But this is, you know, done not during a recession, not during a financial crisis. There's no war going on. This was done during the biggest booming that we've had in years. The United government, our United States, brought in $3.3 trillion, yet we lost $1.2 trillion last year. We are spending like drunken sailors. That's what it tells us.
Yeah, and then
all kinds of revenues coming in, and we can't still make our bills.
Yeah, we spent we brought in $3.3 trillion, but we spent $4.5 trillion, which means we had that deficit of $1.2 trillion. And if you just go back a few years, I mean, there was our spending was in 2012, our spending was $3.9 trillion, and that was under Obama. Now we're at $4.5 trillion, and that's the first year of a quote-unquote Republican president. And I just don't think Donald Trump thinks like this. I mean, he's lived his life inside of his business world and real estate investment and building. But you're in a totally different world now, and I don't know what to make of all this other than you might think it's getting better, and in some ways the economic indicators are, but again, the fundamentals, the foundation of this whole thing is getting worse. So we're replacing some rotted wood on the outside, and we get a new paint job, and maybe you throw a hot tub on the back deck so it looks like everything's going well. Wow, things are looking good at the Noble House, but there's termites all over the place destroying the foundation. That's what it looks like to me from a layman's perspective. Is that about right, David?
That's a great analogy. Let's put it into perspective with some numbers now. We're spending, the government is spending $1 million a minute. And to suffice that spending, the Treasury has to create a Treasury bill. Jeez. Now we're creating them at an all-time high. Yeah. Let's look at what the Treasury is doing. They created just in a week $258 billion of Treasury debt. Putting that into perspective, it took 188 years of our government operations to create a debt of $258 billion. We did it in a week. The Treasury issued Treasuries to suffice the overspending. It's insane. We cannot keep this level of spending. The day in reckoning will come. I'm not a doomsdayer.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to get our financial house in order. This is a biblical assessment that we have to look at. You cannot overspend more than what you take in and say everything will be fine.
So when we look at this, I mean, and everybody's touting, you know, growth and companies adding this and giving bonuses and increasing their minimum wage. And those are all great things. How do we kind of balance those things against this terrible news that we hear every day? Real quick, because we're coming up on a break.
Well, we will have a market correction, and this is the time you want to diversify when markets are in a lull. You have some gold. Gold will help you as things go down in other investments, stocks, real estate. Yeah. Gold will go up.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that when we come back, talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Their website, landmarkgold.com, or you can give them a call at 844-879-8882. Great education and information. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Hey, say a little prayer. Myself and a few of my friends, a couple pastors, are jumping in a car right after the show and driving up to Washington, D.C. But there is a little snow on the ground, which that's a major biblical event in a place like North Carolina. So, but we're driving up to Washington, D.C. and then staying the night. We'll be at the Museum of the Bible tomorrow. And I'm taking as many people up there with me personally as I can, because it is just an amazing, amazing experience. Just the nicest museum I've ever been to, and just incredibly encouraging, especially if you're a follower of Christ. To see the transmission of the Bible and the impact of the Bible, the history of the Bible, it's just it is a one-of-a-kind experience. So I'll be there with them tomorrow, and we'll have some experts from the Museum of the Bible on the show tomorrow. And then my friends, a pastor and his daughter who's 15, and one other pastor, will get their reactions as well. Because I'm going to keep whetting your appetite, whether you live on the East Coast, the West Coast, Hawaii. If you're going to get anywhere near Washington, D.C. for any reason, you have got to get to the Museum of the Bible. So I'll be broadcasting there tomorrow, but please pray that we would have safe travel up there this evening. Talking to our friend David Fisher. It is a Money Monday. We're doing usually we do our full Money Monday show at the first Monday of the month, but our schedules were all kind of messed up over the last couple of weeks and vacation and stuff like that. So we decided to drop it in today, and I'm grateful for it. Again, David, thanks so much for being with us today and helping us through these complex issues.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm very honored to be once again on your show today.
Wonderful. Well, we were talking off the air during Facebook Live that I was just kind of lamenting about we just don't have many of our leaders talking honestly and openly about the financial condition of the country. And I was using that kind of that a word picture about a house that is looking okay on the outside. You get a fresh paint job, you add a hot tub in the back, you get a front deck, you put up a new big screen TV inside, you change out your appliances, you replace a little rotted wood, and you think things are fine. But underneath the house, the termites are going ballistic, the wood is rotting, and the whole thing's falling apart. But I don't really hear anybody talking about that, especially from an elected official perspective. Are there financial experts that are laying it on the line and telling the truth about this impending train wreck? And then we'll get to what the train wreck's going to look like here in a second.
Well, there's a few elected officials, but they become the scapegoats, and some of the financial people are also too. But, you know, just because it's not being said doesn't mean it's not real. So, but, you know, there are people who are very well respected, like Paul Tudor Jones. He predicted the 1987 October crash, and he's predicting inflation is coming recently on CNBC. And just to be on CNBC says a whole lot of your integrity and your experience. He said, if I had a choice between holding U.S. treasuries or hot burning coals, I would choose the coal. So, I mean, that says a lot about holding the U.S. dollar. J.P. Morgan co-president warns of a deep correction in stocks, totaling as much as 40% over the next few years. Typically, you know, Steve, we have a 10% correction every 3 years and a 20% correction every 7 years. So we're long overdue for the 20% correction. We already had the 10%.
So what was what was 2008? How big of a correction was 2008?
About 35%.
And so the reality here is what we experienced last month in February, which felt like a giant correction to me as I was watching my numbers change. That was really nothing compared to what's really on the horizon by the sounds of you and all these other experts.
Yeah, there's other people like Goldman Sachs. They're pretty well respected. They're sent out an email to their top wage-earning clients, high-end clients. They said, don't buy this dip era. It is dead. So, I mean, that says a whole lot. Morgan Stanley also said that we're in just the appetizer stage of, and we're not even got to the main course of a pullback yet. So who knows when this is going to happen, but when it does, this is key that, you know, just like you would not have yourself without health insurance or life insurance or car insurance or homeowners insurance, some crisis will come. And when it comes, you want to be prepared financially. We will have another crisis. It's a matter of not if, but when. And when it does, this will be a big one.
Well, because if everybody had a chance, if every investor in America had a chance to replay 2008 again, they would probably give more consideration to things like precious metals, which is your specialty, gold and silver, as well as cash. And most stockbrokers aren't going to want you to be in cash because that doesn't make them any money. And so this is I'm a simplistic person. I use these word pictures all the time. But, you know, in your investment portfolio, kind of like a teeter totter. And on one end, most of us have everything on one end of the teeter totter. And it's your stock portfolio and your mutual funds and stuff. We very, very rarely have something to balance on the other side. But isn't that the chief role of precious metals and gold and silver?
Exactly. You know, Paul Tudor, I quoted him. He also said, I want to own commodities, hard assets. He's referring to metals right now, yeah, and cash. So a portion to seven, a portion to eight, because you do not know a tragedy may befall. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. If people saw 2008 coming and they diversified, put some money into gold and cash, they would have had money to offset the problem with cash, and they would have had gold went up on a massive bull run market, 2.5 years, 3 years, excuse me, went up 2.5 times. And if you look at gold versus stocks, and I'm not anti-stocks, but gold versus stocks over the last, since the year 2000, gold has gone up over 400% and stocks have done about 125%. So using index to index, the Dow to gold index. So those are the numbers. So gold has been an incredible performing asset. It's because of the debt. And, you know, and debt's not going to go down. It's probably going to go up. So gold's going to be forced to go up.
Yeah, really, really sober-mindedness is such a need that we all need to be praying for, not just for ourselves as investors, but for our leaders as well. And well, I just got – you had a new white paper out called Time is Up. I just got it in the mail the other day and started to read it. It's excellent assistance and excellent education. Tell us about that real quick.
You know, we have a thing that they can get is called Time is Up, which bubble may burst to first to trigger the coming great deflate. there's about 8 bubbles that are being formed. Some are getting ready to pop and some are just starting. This talks about all of them. And here's how you diversify. It gives a lot of the things that we said today now in writing, a lot more facts. They can get that by calling our company or going to our website. I have lots of white papers on literature on how to get properly diversified, invested, and even how you can roll over your 401k IRA into physical gold and silver and hold that without a tax liability.
And really the important thing here, and I can speak from personal experience, is just to get educated. I think, we can't just kind of sit back and assume. I mean, you might like your stockbroker or your financial advisor or whatever, but if you're not getting educated, I mean, ultimately the buck stops with me when it comes to my bucks, right? So I need to be getting educated. That's one of the things that's changed a lot for me personally. And where David's been a big help is just getting information like this particular white paper. And you start to learn and you start to get educated and you start to gain some wisdom. And now you don't have to be such a victim and kind of blindsided all the time. Do you find that most investors, David, across the country, because most of us aren't like in your office and doing things like you do every day, do you find that most investors are really kind of lacking on their own personal knowledge base when it comes to these issues?
Absolutely. You know, some of the quotes that I quoted today, if they saw this in print off CNBC's website or whatever website I'm quoting from, Yahoo News, they go like, wow, I didn't know that. And so we're all about education, getting people's eyes open, because once people see the facts, we believe that they're smart enough to be a good steward of the funds that the Lord has entrusted to them and diversify appropriately.
Well, speaking about bursting bubbles, that's pretty much all we've been doing since we started the show today. Is there anything that you're feeling hopeful about or feeling good about that's going on in the financial world? And then one other question, because you're a man of God and we're a youth pastor as well. How do we kind of approach, biblically, as followers of Jesus Christ, how would you suggest that we approach the volatility, the unknowns, the fear that's involved? We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of sound mind. But how do we kind of deal with this as Christians? Because, you know, sometimes we act like this is all there is. Of course, this is a very minor part of what there is. But how do we kind of work through this as followers of Christ?
Well, first of all, you know, the ark was built with detailed plans from the Lord to Noah, and it was not a guesswork. The temple was built with detailed plans from the Lord. And it was not a guesswork. So God does things very precisely. And as believers should have a blueprint, a roadmap to how we look at this financially so we don't have a spirit of fear with this volatile markets. That's why you have a portion to 7, a portion to 8, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. So the idea of putting all your money in one basket, stocks, is not a good biblical format for growth of wealth. And we can look at, and I can show them financially how that the Bible has come true when you have some in cash, some in precious metals, some in real estate, and also some in stocks. So I don't get rattled by these markets. What I like about it is the economy is growing, but unfortunately, like I said before, it's going to take it in the shorts in our debt.
Yeah, and that's why we have to continue to pray for those in authority over us. That's another thing that a lot of us, unfortunately, don't think to do. We'll pray for our guy or our gal. We won't pray for all of them. Our prayers are affected by our party affiliation, sadly. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, and if you want a great assistant for this, just go to a website called pray1tim2.org. You'll sign up for your state, whether you're in Hawaii or Minnesota or California, wherever you're at. And every day, like I do, you'll get an email early in the morning that'll have 6 or 7 elected officials, doesn't show you their party affiliation, but something to pray about, wisdom, discernment, salvation, whatever it is, one on the federal level, and most of them are on the state level. And we should be praying for our elected officials every day because these issues are massively complex. The implications are across the board on not just the 330 million people here in America, but billions of people around the world. And our leaders need wisdom more now than ever because the world is far more complex now than it ever has been. And we need to remember to keep our joy where the source is, which is in our relationship with Christ, our knowledge of the Word, and our ultimate hope in heaven and the resurrection and the future. And when you do that, you're not going to get tossed to and fro like a cork set loose on the ocean. So we have to keep our minds focused on Christ, and then we have to be wise as well. And David, I really appreciate you coming on each week and helping us understand that and giving us the wisdom we need to make good decisions. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Okay, friends, we'll be back tomorrow. And like I said, please pray for our safe travel. The weather's a little dicey, but We'll get up there. I got a big old fat heavy SUV out there waiting for us, and we're just looking forward to getting up to the Museum of the Bible. If you want to join us on Facebook, we're going to pray now for a couple minutes right after we get off the air. Facebook.com/C2A Radio. That's the letter C, the number 2, the letter A. Facebook.com/C2A Radio. We'll pray with David for our nation, for a couple other things. And then, God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon, live tomorrow from Washington, D.C., in the Museum of the Bible.